Episode 3, Training a Generalist, How GR00TN1 Learned to Act. Xiaoxing Tan, welcome back. Now that we've uncovered the clever architecture of NVIDIA's GR00TN1, it's time to answer a big question. How do you teach a robot's brain like this? After all, having a fancy design with vision language and action modules is one thing, but these modules don't come out of the box knowing anything. They have to learn from data, and in the case of GR00TN1, a lot of data. In this episode, we'll explore the training process of GR00TN1, which you can think of as the education of a robotic polymath. We'll talk about what data was used, how it was used, and the sheer scale of the training effort. Training a generalist robot model is a massive undertaking because the model needs to gain experience in a huge variety of tasks and scenarios. NVIDIA approached this by feeding GR00TN1 with a heterogeneous mix of datasets. Instead of relying on one source, they combined many. Here are the major ingredients in GR00T's training diet. Real robot demonstrations. This includes actual trajectories and sensor data from real robots performing tasks. For example, a human operator might remotely control a humanoid robot to perform hundreds of examples of picking up a box or opening a door. These real-world demonstrations provide ground truth examples of how tasks should be done in physical reality, including all the quirks and noise that come with real sensors and motors. Human videos. Think of videos of people doing everyday tasks, cooking, cleaning, stacking objects, using tools. Such videos, possibly sourced from the internet or recorded in lab settings, show how humans interact with objects in their environment. From these, the model can learn concepts like what certain actions look like, how objects are typically grasped or manipulated, and the flow of multi-step activities. It's like showing the robot, here's how humans do it. Even though the robot's body's different, the high-level ideas can be useful. Synthetic data from simulation. This is a big one. NVIDIA leveraged simulation platforms, like their Isaac Sim and Omniverse environments, to create synthetic experiences for the model. In simulation, they can spawn endless variations of environments, different room layouts, different objects, random positions, and so on. They also can simulate multiple types of robots, different embodiments from robotic arms to full humanoids. GR00TN1 was trained on an enormous amount of simulated robot data. Think of virtual robots practicing tasks in virtual worlds. The benefit here is scale and diversity. You can generate more data in simulation than you could ever practically collect with real robots, and you can cover corner cases or dangerous scenarios safely. One particular simulation tool mentioned is Isaac GR00T-Dreams, a system that can generate synthetic neural motion data quickly by imagining a robot doing tasks in new environments. This kind of tool allowed NVIDIA's team to produce thousands of unique training scenarios on the fly, dramatically reducing the need for months of manual data collection. All these sources were blended together to train GR00TN1 in an end-to-end fashion. Practically, during training, the model would be given a scenario, say an initial state of a robot and environment, plus an instruction like move the cube to the shelf, and it would attempt to generate the correct sequence of actions. When it was wrong, the training algorithm adjusted the model's billions of parameters slightly to improve. Repeat this millions of times with varied tasks and data, and the model gradually learns. Now, training a model of this complexity is not just about data variety, but also about scale. NVIDIA trained GR00TN1 on their powerful GPU infrastructure. To give you an idea, later versions, like GR00TN1.5, were trained on 1,000 high-end GPUs for on the order of hundreds of thousands of iterations. That is an astronomical amount of compute, something only a few organizations in the world can throw at a single AI model. GR00TN1's training likely involves similar industrial-scale compute. This heavy lifting is necessary because the model is so large, billions of neural network weights, and the task is so complex, learning vision, language, and control all at once. The upside of putting in that much compute effort is that once trained, the single resulting model encapsulates knowledge that would otherwise take many separate smaller projects to replicate. Let's talk a bit more about the training techniques. We mentioned last episode that G.R. Wurz's 0TN1's action module uses a diffusion-based approach. During training, they likely use something called a flow matching or diffusion loss. Without diving too deep into math, this means they added noise to correct action sequences and train the model to reverse that noise, effectively teaching it to refine a rough guess of a movement into the precise movement needed. This method helps the model learn the distribution of possible successful actions rather than just one deterministic action. It's important for handling the inherent uncertainty and multiple ways to do a task. For example, there's more than one way to reach for a cup. The robot could approach from the side or the front. A diffusion-style training can allow the model to see multiple successful styles in training and not be confused by them. Furthermore, training was done jointly for both System 1 and System 2. This means when GR00TN1 was trying a task in training, the vision language part and the action part were being adjusted together based on the outcome. If the model misinterpreted the instruction or fumbled the motion or both, the training process would tweak the respective parts. Over time, this end-to-end training makes the two parts tightly integrated. The vision language module learns to output info that's actually useful for controlling the robot, and the action module learns to rely on the cues from the vision language part. One of the coolest aspects of GR00TN1's training is the notion of cross-embodiment learning. Because the training data included different robots, for instance, maybe both a simulation of a humanoid and a simulation of a smaller mobile manipulator, the resulting model isn't narrowly specialized to one body. It developed a more abstract understanding of tasks. It knows what it means to pick up a box, generally, not just how a specific robot arm would do it. This is analogous to how you or I can learn a skill and then apply it in different contexts. Like if you learn to drive a car, you can probably figure out how to drive a van or maybe even a go-kart because the core ideas transfer. GR00TN1's broad training regimen aimed to imbue it with that transferability. Now, all this training yields a giant neural network model at the end, and NVIDIA did something significant. They made GR00TN1 openly available to developers. This means anyone can download the model, it's hosted on platforms like Hugging Face as a checkpoint, and then fine-tune or post-train it on their own data. If you have a specific robot and you want it to do a specific task better, you can take GR00TN1 and run a smaller training session with additional data for that task or robot. This is much faster and easier than training from scratch. Why? Because GR00TN1 already has so much generic know-how. It's like giving the robot an education up to college level, and you just need to teach the grad school specifics now. NVIDIA reports that partners have been able to adapt GR00TN1 to their robots with very little additional data, sometimes just a few demonstrations, and get good performance. We'll hear more about that in upcoming episodes when we discuss results. To summarize this training story, GR00TN1 learned to be a generalist by consuming an unprecedented variety of robotic experiences, both real and imagined, human and machine. It was a massive project, combining advanced machine learning techniques with NVIDIA's simulation tools and compute horsepower. The result is a single model that has a rich, generalized understanding of how to perceive instructions and perform physical tasks. In the next episode, we'll shift from how GR00TN1 was built and trained to what it can actually do. How well does this model perform? What kinds of tasks can it handle out of the box? And how does it compare to previous robotics approaches? We'll discuss the impressive skills and some benchmark results that show the power of GR00TN1 in action. Stay with us. The proof, as they say, is in the pudding, and we're about to see what this model is capable of doing. Outro. That wraps up our discussion on training. We've seen that teaching a robot model like GR00TN1 is no small feat. It's like training an AI Olympic athlete with a mix of real practice and simulated drills. Up next, we'll talk about the skills and smarts this model gained from all that training. How does GR00TN1 perform when faced with real tasks and challenges? Join us in episode 4 to find out.